everyone. Welcome to the Narnia Web Council on the Narnia Web Podcast. I'm your host, Rillian, and once again today we have Glumpuddle with us. Glumpuddle, welcome back.
Hello.
And Dr. Ransom. Doc, how are you today?
I'm fine. Greetings to both of you. You can't see me, but I'm waving at my computer screen.
Well, me too.
Good.
We're very friendly council members here.
Yes. Pretty... Not, well, that's because we can't actually hit each other. So, there's some stuff to talk about. So, first off, I mean, really, there's a couple big topics we want to talk about today. Although, first off, one of the videos, I mean, there's a ton of videos we can really highlight here, but I really want to briefly cover our first, I'll say, first real performance we've seen over the... at least the best idea we can get of a performance from Will Poulter as Eustace in the video of him shouting at the crew members. And you can't really make out exactly what he's shouting. Although, if I were to guess, I would guess that he's really wanting to go home and he wants to go to be taken to the British consul. That's my take. But
let's hope so.
It was a real treat for me to see that. I have to say, I thought it was... it reminded me of the book. It really did.
It reminded me of the book, too, and it reminded me of some bratty kids I've known, which in turn reminded me of the book, which is exactly what it's meant to do. It was like I watched it, and I thought, oh, that's Eustace. And I may have had my first Dawn Treader geek moment just watching that video, especially because it's pretty easy to tell that he is complaining about being on the ship, and he wants to go to the British consul right now. That's what it sounded like to me, anyway.
For me, the first geek moment was probably seeing the purple sail. I just absolutely went crazy. But, yeah, I kind of agree. I think that it's – I don't know if it's selective hearing or not, but the first time I heard it, I definitely heard it. Take me to the British consul, or maybe just something like get me off the ship right now. And I definitely – yeah, I was – I mean, how much can you really tell from this footage? But I was pretty pleased with Will Poulter just from this. But it is kind of our first video of Will Poulter performance, even though it's obviously not the video we're going to be seeing in the movie.
Right. Yeah. And I have to say it's encouraging for me just because, you know, we're intense fans. We get critical. And it's really fun to highlight something that I think, well, I think I'm going to be really happy with his performance. Because there weren't too many times where I thought, wow, I think probably my favorite, next to George Henley, my favorite of the Friends of Narnia actors has been Skander Keynes. He's probably been my favorite consistently. And so it's really neat for me to see someone else who I think, wow, this kid could nail it. And puts a lot of energy in the role. So I'm excited about it.
For me, one of the reasons why, sorry, one of the big ones for me is that seeing a lot of pictures of him, and also just recently seeing a lot of pictures of Georgie, we can really compare how old they look. And I would agree with 60% of Narnia Webbers, according to the homepage poll, in that Will Poulter does look younger than Georgie Henley. Even though he's actually over 2 years older than Georgie, he looks younger to me, which is good.
And he looks like he's going to act younger, too.
Yes. So cool. Well, thumbs up all around on the Will Poulter video.
Indeed.
Yes, I got two thumbs up, even though you can't see them.
But speaking of... well, this is almost, I mean, there's some video, there's images, but the images came first, I think. We've got some images of the armor of the crew, and specifically, I mean, this is almost two topics here, but Lucy in armor as well, with a sword. And this has been a point of some, I don't know, I think a lot of it's revolved around Lucy, but do we want to briefly cover the armor?
Hey, why not?
I mean, for me, I was looking at, well, Edmund's armor, and it's interesting how it almost blends with, to me, it looked like it blends with the ship, actually in a really neat way. It's got this, you know, as far as colors, and it almost looks, it reminds me a little bit of armor from the kind of the second age elven armor from Lord of the Rings, but I thought it was cool.
I thought it was cool, too. She looks like... she belongs there. It looks traditional. It looks mythological. It looks fun. That's one thing that was so clear reading the Voyage of the Dawn Treader book is it's fun. I remember now looking at this photo, I think of the line, I think it's at the end of the chapter where they get into Narnia and they're back on the Narnian ship. They're looking around. There's this magical moment. Eustace is throwing a fit, but Lucy and Emmett are very glad to be there. And it describes Lucy going to her own cabin and just kind of sighing. And this is going to be a great adventure. And the clothing here seems to convey that.
Yeah. Glumpuddle's completely silent. He's going to blow up or something.
Ooh, is he about to unload about something?
Did he drop out?
He dropped out completely? Oh. Seems like he would have been talking by now. I wonder if we can get him back.
Doesn't say that he's dropped out.
No, he still seems to be hanging on.
I'm thoroughly confused.
Would you like me to imitate him?
Hear me now?
There he is.
I can hear you now. There we go. Okay.
All right. Okay. Good. I was about to imitate him.
Okay.
I bumped the button. You have to edit this out. Anyway. Okay. So my views on the armor. Obviously, it looks very different from what we've seen in the first two films. But I would just assume the idea is that when they're at sea, their armor would be different. It would need to be lighter. It would need to serve a slightly different function. It would have different practical needs. Initially, I did have a very negative opinion of it, and I think a lot of Narnia lovers did too. If you just read some of the comments, there's initial kind of, I don't know. And I think it's growing on a lot of people now, and I don't know. As far as how it looks in pictures, I don't think it looks as good, but it might end up being more practical. So I'm just kind of, I'm just sort of waiting to see how it looks in the movie, which isn't very fun, but that's what I'm doing.
Now remember, book that they gave her a spare uniform from the ship. They didn't bring along women clothes, so they had to kind of outfit her like a guy, at least if you're keeping to the manuscript of the book.
Well, right here, as far as Lucy goes, that's just not an issue for me. It kind of is for a lot of Narnia Webbers, but I think most Narnia Webbers are kind of, it's cool to see her have Caspian's clothes for a while, but not for the entire movie, At some point, we can have her pick something up at the Lone Islands or something, so to me that's not an issue at all. It's one thing to say it in a book. It's another thing to be constantly reminded of it in the movie. I think it's just totally different. And also say that her so-called armor looks really neat. I like the design.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Lucy's outfit, a lot of people seem to be torn on, as far as, like you said, Glumpuddle, I think a little bit earlier, whether it's, not just her wearing armor at all, but why and so forth.
I don't know. Just general. We decided to give her something. We're not going to have her wear her English clothes, and we're not going to have her wear Caspian's clothes the whole time, and just something that looks a little bit swashbuckling or whatever, and adventurous. And to me, it just kind of makes sense. Don't give her a dress. That just wouldn't.
Right.
I don't think that would be practical for the story. So what we have here is something that looks like an adventure. I think it fits perfectly.
But then there's the sword as well.
Yeah, that was an issue. Always an issue. Battles are ugly when women fight. That always comes back to haunt us.
Don't say it! It's so intolerant!
it's sort of perplexing for me because, again, if it were Lucy, I'm just wondering what the fight is for. Because I would expect... I'm trying to remember back to the book and different situations they had, maybe where they got archers out, and if they, if I saw some of them with swords, some of them with bows and arrows, then what you would expect from, I don't know, whether it's the sea serpent, or you'd expect to see some of them with bows and arrows. If she was holding a bow and arrow, I would think, that's it wasn't really mentioned in the book, but I don't mind that. And then it's sort of, what are they going to have her doing too,
Yeah, that I think that's more the concern in the forum that I'm seeing is that there's a lot of people. I think most people aren't that worried just about the fact that she has a sword. It's more about why did the filmmakers feel the need to give her a sword? Because she had a dagger, she had a weapon. So it seems like they're saying, oh, a dagger is not enough. She needs a sword. So there must be presumably you think there must be a reason they've given her a sword. And so maybe they've added an action sequence or something. And again, adding action scenes, always a concern with Narnia fans.
Yeah, especially in a story that, in my personal opinion, I find very exciting. They're all pretty exciting, but really, this has different types of excitement. Just the kidnapping with Pug is an exciting incident, although it's not really a fight.
Yeah.
So, I'm not sure. I don't know if this is. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. She has. I don't want to move ahead too quickly, but I think she has the weapon during the parts where they're filming the bit with the MLG, the mysterious little girl.
Yes. Yeah, that's all we've seen so far, at least.
So maybe this is. If I were to hazard a guess, and then Doctor, I want your opinion. I am guessing this is. I want to say this is part of the show they put on for the Lone Islands, but Lucy was a captive when they put on the show. And so that's what confuses me. And then, you know, why are they back on the Dawn Treader with the... I don't know.
There's a number of factors. Yeah, there's a number of holes in that, actually, that we'll discuss later, I think.
Yeah, as far as just, I don't know, why they would have the girl there, and I don't know. I would guess that it would be around that time in the story.
So we're totally moving into, we're opening up the whole can of worms here with the MLG? Are we just going to go ahead
here? Almost. I'm still talking about the time frame of Lucy with the weapon. And with the sword, and it seems, I would guess it'd be around the time of when they're at the Lone Islands.
Mm-hmm.
Doctor, what do you think?
I think so.
Doctor?
It's hard to tell. I'm guessing that if they get to the point of, as you said, putting on a show for the Lone Islanders, where the Dawn Treader hoists all of its flags and it tries to imply that there's a whole fleet of Narnian ships there to resume control of the Lone Islands, my guess is that it's not going to be just a show. Steel is going to meet Steel, and there's going to be some yars and some yas and some clangs and some stuff knocked over, and maybe a cannon shot or two. Maybe not a big battle. I certainly hope not anyway, but a skirmish. So I'm guessing that turned out to be more than a show, and maybe that's why Lucy has the sword. But it is true that at least in Book Narnia, Lucy was captured along with Edmund, who, as we all know, was in the dungeon and got out. So just recently. We're very glad that they were managed to clear all those charges for him.
And in other news.
If Lucy has a sword, and if it's for that part, then obviously either she didn't get captured or they restructured things a little bit where they bust them out first instead of doing the big show and then going in and raiding the slave market.
Yeah. I think that for me personally, you know, I always had an issue with Susan fighting just because it was so incredibly out of character. But then I guess to some extent for Prince Tassin, I kind of said, okay, in terms of the cinematic story they're trying to tell and some of the restructuring, maybe that she does have to fight. But if she did fight, if she absolutely had to fight, that's not at all how she would do it. That's kind of so I had a lot of problems with Susan. But with Lucy, it doesn't seem totally out of character for Lucy to fight. And in fact, we know that she did fight in The Horse and His Boy and was a good archer.
And plus, I just get this, call it a gut feeling, but I got this idea. You know, there's this one shot, cinematically brilliant, literally terrible, where the camera, you know, in Prince Caspian starts off with Susan hitting people with a bow and shooting people and, you know, panning up. You know, it's this beautiful shot, but it just focuses on Susan, warrior princess. And I don't think they would do that with Lucy, though. I just don't get the feeling that they would tend to make her into the warrior queen the way they did with Susan. So that part I'm not really... I don't think it would be as bad. And yet, they never gave Susan an actual sword.
No, which is interesting.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm cautiously pessimistic or cautiously optimistic. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, as far as – I think it's worth mentioning, you know, the book, there's as far as I can remember, there's no mention of Lucy ever holding a sword. There is a mention. I believe it's when they're going to meet Dragon Eustace for the first time. And Caspian says, okay, everyone, sword's out, everyone. And then he says, Lucy, put an arrow to the string. And so we know that Lucy has a bow and arrows at least. But I don't believe there's any mention of her having a sword.
I don't think so. Yeah. Mm. So, well
– but to me personally, I'm a little bit excited about the idea of seeing Lucy fight, as long as it's not bloodthirsty or anything. I don't know. It seems kind of in character, and I think it'd be very easy to root for Lucy, again, as long as she's not portrayed as some, you know, Legolas action hero.
I would also prefer that Lucy not throw an arrow at a bad guy.
Okay. I prefer Legolas.
That's just because
arrows.
Of physics, not any kind of
Legolas. Yeah. Legolas, I love it. Legolas reached out, stabbed, pulled back, shot another one. That actually worked. It just looked good.
There is
okay?
no mention in the books at all of Lucy throwing an, or anyone else for that matter, throwing an arrow. Let's just leave it at that.
There's no
or
mention,
any
in
mention
popular,
anywhere of anybody throwing an arrow.
Well, but okay, anyway. We've already touched on this, and this is the second big topic. Isn't this wonderful? You know, we all talk about an issue, and we're all, oh, let's talk about this for 10 minutes. Oh, yes, we're all still as confused as we were before.
Exactly.
But moving on.
Speaking of confusion.
This is what you call jawing about Narnia.
The MLG, the mysterious little...
Ah! Oh, it hurts my head to think about it at this point.
It's okay. Point.
Whoa, slow down. Well, Doctor, don't talk while Glumpuddle's interrupting. Glumpuddle,
okay, right. I shan't.
Glumpuddle, go ahead. Why don't you give your thoughts and give the thoughts of the confusion on the board. I'm looking at it right now, and there is definitely a lot of
I don't know. At this point, like I'm kind of all discussed out at this point, but I'll try as far as theories and what is going on. I mean, I think it's hard to say, is there a generally negative opinion or is there a generally positive opinion? I think it's more like me. Everyone's just really confused. And but basically what we have here is, you know, we've been seeing pictures of the set in which there seemed to be this mysterious little girl about 8 or 9 years old on board the ship. And
we heard about with a casting announcement.
Yeah, but I think most people like me just kind of forgot about it or ignored it. It was like kind of whatever. And then seeing these pictures, Jim Ben and I were talking about it, actually. And he's kind of like, I saw her, then I just kind of ignored her and thought she'd go away. But then she kept popping up. And then finally, what really set off all the discussion, I think, is when we got a video of her jumping off the ship. And she seems to say, Mommy! And then jumps into the ship and then jumps off the ship and then Rince jumps after her. And also, to add even more confusion, the side of the ship, the railing appears to be damaged or broken off somehow. And like, well, how does that fit into it? So there's all these factors that keep coming into it, adding to the confusion. Obviously, there's no girl on board except for Lucy, mysterious or otherwise, on board the ship. So we have no context at all. And we do know that we just recently found out that – or last week, I guess – that she's on board the ship during the dragon attack, according to a report. And so there's just a lot of – what the heck is going on? And a lot of Narnia Webbers freaking out right now, I guess is the best way to say it.
Because, okay, yeah, I guess I'd either missed it or forgotten about the her being there during the dragon attack. Here's one reason why if she is on the ship for any significant length of time, I shall be very put out. Because this would really, it could so throw off the dynamic that we see in the story growing between the relationships between Lucy and Caspian and Reepy Cheep and
Eustace. Don't say the relationship between Lucy and Caspian. Don't you dare jinx it. I don't want to hear that on this podcast.
I'm using relationship in the sense of the word that we should try to reclaim, okay?
Just make it clear, okay? Just make sure that's clear.
And Michael Acton,
okay, the relationship between Lucy and Eustace and Edmund and Caspian.
And other characters, okay.
And but really, this, you know, I feel like, get off the screen, I didn't come for you,
She's jumping off the ship, so I guess you should feel good there.
I should, but Rince is jumping off after, and I liked Rince. And, you know, I don't think they're going to have her drown. You know, well, there goes that character.
Yeah, I mean, at least
now
they killed off Mysterious, right? Well, I think there are a lot of people who are on your side, really. But let's hear what Ransom actually thinks. What do you think, Ransom, of all this?
If it weren't for the part about the mysterious little girl supposedly being on the ship during the dragon attack, I'd have my grand theory of everything, and I think it would work. It's a movie script trick. Trick makes it sound bad, but I'll just call it a trick method, whatever, called The Face of Suffering. I just made that up a few seconds ago. In a book, when you have a problem, like, say, slavery, which is a problem in The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, at least the earlier chapters, or the same problem in a movie like Amazing Grace, which, of course, was directed by the same director. You have to have a character or you know, not really a character, but some kind of a figure between an extra and a character to demonstrate the face of suffering. This is what this problem is doing to somebody who looks appealing, who looks sympathetic. We want the audience to empathize with this person. The grand theater of everything about the mysterious little girl would say, here's somebody that was either on the Dawn Treader or they somehow picked up in the Lone Islands or maybe on Driftwood as they approached the Lone Islands or something.
Freed slave possibly is the most popular theory at this point, I think.
Right. Well, this is sort of an extension of that. So when they bust up the whole slave trade in the Lone Islands, they find her mother. And she jumps off the ship and either, whoa, what do you know? It's also Rince's long-lost wife. Or it's or maybe they picked up – or maybe Rince was a former slave too, and then they have him work on the ship. So
yeah,
ergo, face of suffering. But the whole dragon thing throws that off. It wouldn't bother me though.
Yeah.
It turns out that the busted railing on the Dawn Treader is from the show that they put on that turns into a battle or a skirmish and not the dragon attack.
Well, I definitely don't like the idea of them having any kind of a battle at the islands. But as far as – I agree that it is the fact that she's there for the dragon attack that – throws every theory off. I think a lot of people are with you, Brilliant, as far as like, oh, this is terrible. This seems like a big deviation from the book. For me, I mean, there's this we have no context whatsoever. So I really don't know. This could be my favorite scene in the movie. This could be my least favorite scene in the movie. I really don't know. I mean,
angst was provided with the caveat that if this is she's on for a significant portion of time, you know, from.
Yeah.
I don't know. To be honest,
like I said, and this is what I'm just going to say I've been saying over and over in the forum is that there's just completely insufficient evidence to make any kind of intelligent judgment at this point if it's good or bad.
Sure.
But I wasn't intending to say this. I was going to say this on my personal blog, but I wasn't going to say it here. But
for some reason,
I have my gut instinct. I kind of have a good feeling about this. I don't know why. I hope I don't regret saying this. But I mean, I don't know. There was just something about that image of seeing her jump off the ship in joy and seeing, as we suppose, her mother. And just sort of that idea, you know, that it's – I guess I just compared it to Reepicheep finally getting where he belongs and seeing the world's end and that joy and the joy of finding one's true home. And I don't know. We have no context. We have no idea whatsoever what this is. So I'm going to reserve judgment. But I'm definitely not freaking out. Definitely not. This could be good.
I'm not freaking out either, and I'm gonna go out on a limb and either look like a genius when the movie comes out, or I'll look really silly. I think that regardless of the order of islands they visit, or whether the dragon attack happens first or whatever, I think that it turns out that the mysterious little girl is the face of suffering, and that's end of ransom prediction there.
And just quick note for those of you who did not see the update: the boy that is playing is just playing this stunt.
Yes.
The little girl. So what we've actually seen was a female playing the little girl jumping off the ship. The boy will actually
the Gold Coast
off the ship
website.
Later.
The Gold Coast website apparently edited their story to clear up the confusion.
Yeah.
So
we'll see. I mean, you know, again, if this is something that just happens on one of the islands or something, yeah, it could be a good change that I'll end up enjoying.
Yeah.
Like you said, we'll just have to wait and see a lot of the theories. A lot of people are talking about whether this is a contest winner, and I'm thinking, I don't think they do this for a contest. You know, oh, congratulations, you won the contest. You know what we're going to do? We're going to have you jumping off the ship. Really? Yep. We decided
that's the best way
to get rid of you is to jump off the ship. Yeah. We're going to rescue you, then we're going to make you walk the plank.
What we need for the DVD release is deleted scenes. Everyone wants to see deleted scenes, so we're just going to make up completely frivolous scenes and then film them and then cut them on purpose.
Let's have a mysterious
little
girl.
And then everyone watch the DVD freak out.
Oh, we just don't know at this point. Yeah, I know that. I guess since Jim Fan isn't on right now, I ought to kind of voice her opinion as best I can. I think she's more concerned about it than me. She was – when I talked to her last week at least, she was saying how she thinks it's because Lucy is the only female on board the ship. And maybe some studio execs said, oh, we can't do – we have to find a way to get another female on board the ship. And so at least for part of the journey, this is their answer to that. So that doesn't tell us anything about the context of who she is or what she's doing there, but maybe that's the thinking that's going behind it. That was Jim Fan's proposal at least.
I don't know, because then you could say, oh, there's only two females in Prince Caspian, you know. Well, we'll zoom in on Prismia's face in that way.
I don't know. They added that there were a lot of diversity in the old Narnians then, and you know that Reepicheep was the only creature on board the ship, and now of course they've added a lot more creatures. So, as far as adding more diversity and variety, maybe this would go along with that. I can totally see a big studio like Fox saying, "Oh, we have to give this universal appeal. We've got to find a way to get some more female characters into this." So I can kind of see where Jim Fan's coming from.
I disagree. Another theory I really don't think has much merit is that she's been on the ship from the beginning. Is it possible? Yeah, I guess, but I don't see it. I don't see. I mean, unless she was coming back to the islands to meet her mother. And they'd got her somehow, some way before, but that would throw other things off. So,
you know what? I think we ought to think about this in the context of, you know, the whole thing about the unfathomable fate and that whole idea of supposedly they want to make the story about more than just the Seven Lords. And I just wonder if maybe she fits into that they're trying to make the story about more than just finding the Seven Lords. So they're adding more emotional oomph by saying, oh, it's a story about that maybe Rince goes along, maybe their mother was taken captive or something, and maybe from the beginning the journey is to go there and free the slaves. Maybe that's one of the goals of the journey, and then she gets to go, and maybe Miraz, maybe he was selling off his own people into slavery, and one of the reasons they go off in the first place is to sort of right that wrong along with the other Seven Lords, and then her mother was taken into slavery.
Lest all this sound really derivative from the book, we could suppose that she starred on her. I certainly hope not.
I don't know. it could be anything at all. We're totally pulling this out of nothing. It's like you said, really. There's like 10 pages in the forum right now on this, and it's still like, what is going on? We're no closer to figuring it out. There's just nothing in the book to go off of.
Well, I don't remember ever being
confused about the first two films.
There's just nothing that really, because even when we saw something that didn't really fit, we could kind of guess, oh, this is the castle raid or something like that, you know.
And this is like, what is this? I can't place this at all. What's she doing there for the dragon attack? I mean, I have no idea.
So
wouldn't it be hilarious though if we got to watch the movie on opening day and there's no mysterious little girl anywhere?
They just A really, really small role. It's like no big deal at all. You'll hardly even notice it. And it might be. It might be that.
Who knows? We'll see. We'll see. The trailer will start to clear some things up because I think the trailer. Well, maybe not the first teaser, but maybe the trailer will start.
I don't know. I think it might add more confusion.
Well, in some areas, but I'm looking for, you know, how are they going to market the focus of the journey? What is the point? But then. Maybe not, because actually they never even mentioned Miraz's name or that Caspian had an uncle in the other trailers. So we'll just have to wait and see. But,
I hate having to admit it, but yes, I have no idea. I just have to see the darn movie. I don't know. I'm out of theories.
This is – you've heard it here, folks. Glumpuddle is out of it. He is out of theories. He doesn't know.
At a loss for words. I can't even speculate anymore. I'm done. I'm exhausted.
He's exhausted. There will be no more video logs.
Let's end the series of podcasts. We got Glumpuddle to finally admit it. That's been the point all along.
The MLG, what are you? I want to know. Killing me.
All right. Well, Glumpuddle, get some sleep.
I'll sleep on this. Try to sleep. Morning, maybe I'll have the answer. One more confusion.
Maybe you'll dream up the answer. Guys, I just saw the script in my mind. Actually, that happened to me once. I think I watched Prince Caspian in a dream before it came out, and it was a terrible, terrible movie. So,
we'll see.
Thank you very much. Try to get some rest.
I'll give it a shot.
Okay. Thank you very much, Glumpuddle. Thank you, Dr. Ransom.
All right. Thank you very much. Really an old podcasting prince of excellence, and glad to be back with you.
Indeed. Thank you very much for joining us, and make sure you tune in next time, even though this is a podcast and you technically don't tune anything.
That was a good one. That was nice and tight.
Yep. I feel happy about it.
And that's the end.